Welcome to the 8-Bit Geek. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Hey, we're back for a special edition of the show. We're actually going to review, give our thoughts on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Brought to you by Sam Raimi. He is the director. And it stars a whole bunch of people like Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, Benedict Wong, Rachel McAdams, and a ton more that I'm sure that we'll talk about as we go through. So this is the first big release second big release for Marvel after for the summertime. We had Spider-Man No Way Home, and now we have Doctor Strange, and this is the continuation of the whole multiverse storyline that started with Loki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm gonna jump right in.
And yeah, you saw it most recent. You just got home.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. You just walked in the door and called us.
Mm-hmm.
No catching up. No, hey, how's life? How are things? You know, we haven't done this in a while. It was like, fuck y'all. Let's talk about Multiverse of Madness. Get on the fucking call right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The bat phone rang. That weird statue, like that red phone in our houses, rang. So we were like, "Oh shit, it's time."
We each have a bust of each other, but like everyone has a different one, and they all flip open, and there's a red phone inside.
But they all flip open in different ways. Like Kev's, the top of the head flips open. Mine, the jawline just flips all the way back. And Doug's, actually, you have to pull the beard down to reveal the button.
It also makes the sound effect of meh as you pull it down.
Oh, man, again.
I'm tired of opening up for you.
Okay. So I'm going to have maybe some hot takes. Maybe you guys agree with me. Maybe some of you don't. But Loki did it better.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
spoilers.
That should be
spoilers.
Obvious.
Spoilers, spoilers, yeah. Spoilers,
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 spoilers, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
And before we go on, are all three of us Sam Raimi fans here?
100%.
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to clear that up before we go further, because this is definitely a Sam Raimi film. Like, everyone has their signature, and you can walk into this without knowing it was Raimi, and you know it's Raimi. That's how it's very Raimi.
It was like, if he hadn't directed it, we'd be calling this a love letter to Sam Raimi, but he directed it, so it's just Sam Raimi. But it just had that, like, enough, like, nods to his style and even his own universes, kind of, in a way, that it was just like... So I feel like, you know, again, like a love letter. It's like a love letter to just his, I don't know, resume, essentially.
His faithful. It was a good treat for any Sam Raimi fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the film was good. Marvel doesn't make a bad film, hardly ever. And you know, they know how to make one. I do feel like the story was not strong. I did not like the way that Scarlet Witch was used in this film. I don't think that it gives us what we were looking for when we were watching the television show.
WandaVision.
The payoff wasn't there for me. Like, I feel like she deserved more. Like, the stuff was good. I enjoyed, like, the horror aspects and all of that. But I didn't feel a connection that they were trying to push with the whole kids thing. Like, I just did not feel, like, I don't know, man. Like, because the kids were fake. They weren't real. Everything that she went through in the TV show, it just didn't connect with me. It really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all the what if tie-ins. Those were great. But I also feel like we were promised more. I know what Marvel does, and their whole thing is this 10-year plan to build up, to build up, to build up, to build up. But goddamn, you've been teasing us now for 2 years with this shit. Like, you know, like this whole multiverse thing, this, like, I guess I expected something different. I expected a convergence. I expected multiples of every, like, I just expected more.
Yeah. I would agree with the convergence thing. Like, that's kind of where I thought this was going, because, mm-hmm. They set up the multiverse, like, breaking in both Loki and What If, mm-hmm. and like Kevin Feige said, like, because of the of how Loki ends with it's Kang
the Conqueror,
but whatever his that version of, like, he doesn't have a name or whatever, being like killed, and we see the cracks and all that stuff, like, that is why the spell failed in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And then that is what it, like, we're dealing with in the aftermath here. To me, like, I was like, okay, so this is how they're going to introduce into the MCU the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and those titles, because it was like he was going to have to fix the break in reality that he made in Spider-Man, and that's going to cause. Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't remember what they call it in X or in Marvel, but in DC, I think it's typically like, yeah, the convergence, or, you know, where these multiple dimensions and parallel universes all slam together, and you get the prime universe, essentially. I mean, like, that's how they've done it in Marvel, they've done it in DC. You know, DC just did it on their CW shows a couple of years ago, right? I mean, they had that whole thing, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, you know, which was awesome, because again, but it did that. It took all those realities and it slammed them into one. And so now, while Supergirl and Flash used to be on different universes, now they're on the same planet. You know what I mean? Like, and I was expecting that out of this. I was like, okay, it's going to end and like Strange is going to be there and he's going to be like the only one of maybe a few who are like the who now, the what nows, like, you know, like, oh, they've always been here. You're talking about the X-Men helped fight Thanos. Well, the X-Men, you know, the Fantastic Four helped us fight the thing in New York back in 2012. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're always there. You know, and then, like, that's how we move forward. We don't get origin stories. You know, they're there. And that, like, I saw, you know, fan theories that were going like, oh, you know, after that happens, it's like all those things did happen for us, but it's a way for them to also now rewrite and recast some things. It's like how you explain that Black Panther isn't Chadwick Boseman anymore. Mm-hmm. It's how you explain this, and, you know, all these things where there was none of that payoff except for, and I didn't realize this until after, there's a stinger, and, you know, the first, like, mid-credit sequence has Charlize Theron jump out. Mm-hmm. There's an incursion, you know, and that is, and they explained earlier in the movie where two galaxies are slamming, you know, two dimensions are slamming into each other. Mm-hmm. And like typically are destroyed, but like he has to go fix that. And I think that is whatever that is and whatever form that takes later and whatever, you know, however they address
five
it.
5 years down the road.
Well, probably not though. Right. Because that's a big thing. And that can also lead to these sort of events, but it'll be whatever's next. I mean, maybe not whatever's next, but like, we're going to see it elsewhere.
Ant-Man 3 comes out in 2023, and that's when we get our new baddie. So
that's where Kang's
so Conqueror. I'm guessing, I'm guessing next year is when we start to see a little bit of payoff.
Yeah, and maybe in some of the other shows that are coming out this year,
Loki maybe 2,
we'll see some of it.
Loki 2 comes out next year as well. So
and Miss Marvel is this summer. Mm-hmm. She's in June, and then
the Marvels, I think it's called, right?
It's Miss
Marvel. That's the movie.
Yeah, Miss Marvel is a TV show.
Oh yeah,
and right, then the Marvels is the movie. Yeah. And then She-Hulk later this year as well.
Interesting.
You mentioned CW. Can I just say that I feel like that America Chavez was a CW character that made it into a Marvel movie.
She was the weakest part of the movie. Yep.
And that,
like, cool character. I like her character, like, even in the comics and stuff. But, like, the actress was, like, you know, like CW quality, yep. Like, kind of one of the weaker ones that they've. It was weird because it was like, they never say how old she is, but there is, like, the, like, oh, I'm 14 or whatever. And you're like, then I'm thinking, I'd be like, oh, okay, but she didn't look 14. She looked older, mm-hmm. You know? And so it was like, I don't know, maybe because she hasn't had a chance to, like, settle anywhere or something, because she's been hopping universes, so she's
right.
You know, I don't know, but, like, yeah, she felt phony. She felt like an actress. She didn't feel like a
right, and it felt like
living character.
Everything in the Marvel universe is, like, cinematic, and she felt like a TV show. She felt like it did not belong. Like, it just felt off. And then the stupid fucking star portal. I just hated it. I hated the star portal so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
comic. I know it's true, part of the though. Comic, but
yeah, I don't know anything about America Chavez's comic character, but yeah, I heard that's accurate.
Yep.
I hated every time they said her name, though. I was like, God, this feels so, like, awesome. I hate the fact that they, like, keep going, like, yeah, America, the great. Like, stop it.
We have to save America.
Yeah, we have to
never,
save America.
You'll never guess what her superhero name is.
Mm. What is it?
Probably guess. I said, you could probably guess.
What?
It's Miss America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at one point she's even Captain. I think she eventually becomes Captain America. But, like,
I could see that.
Yeah, which is just like, it's like, oh, it's a little on the nose there.
Yeah,
but then, like, you look at her character and, like, she is from the utopian parallel world. Like, that, all that is, like, true. So, like, mm-hmm. America in their regard does not exist like it does here. So, like, her being named that would be, like, someone, I don't know, being named, like, Britain or something. You know what I mean? Like, where mm-hmm. it's like, it's mm-hmm. not.
So. I know. It just, I don't know. It all rubbed the wrong way. And then. The story,
or if someone was named Colorado Space.
Mm-hmm. Did someone say my name?
Nope. That's a saga joke that people will hear in 8 months.
Here we go.
Did you guys need me to review this? Yeah. So, I mean, the story overall also was a huge, just huge tropes of, like, this person has all the power we need. And it was just like the most basic story. And it was just like the only way. And then I was like, all I could think of was Sam Raimi. And I was like, oh my God, the only reason why they got him to do this movie is because A, it was supposed to be a little scarier, but B, there's fucking evil books involved.
Yeah.
And who better to have a man to do that film?
Yeah, I was really disappointed we didn't get to see the Necronomicon somewhere mm-hmm. in here, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, like, oh, there's the one that we're after. And then, like, lying next to it is the Necronomicon. I mean, maybe that would have been a little too on the nose for them, but, like,
I don't know, I
mean,
man.
They put Ash's car in the movie, so. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they put Ash's car, and they made a reference to Ash back in at the end credit scene, so. You know, I mean, with him fighting his own hand and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Pizza Papa, baby. Pizza Papa always gets paid. Pizza Papa always gets his money.
And then he looks at the camera. He's like, it's over. So it's just like, oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, so overall, like I said, I'm not trying to bash it. Like, they had some really great stuff in there. I loved all of... I loved all the new spells. I loved his looks. I loved the cameos. I loved that they did introduce the Fantastic Four and X-Men, and even played the goddamn 97 theme of X-Men.
I was like, mm-hmm. I cried.
Aww.
I when he in the fucking ugly ass yellow hover chair and that fucking theme, like, it got me, man. It got me, because, you know, dude, after Logan, he was like, yo, I'm done. I'm never playing Professor X again. Like, I don't need to. We've finished my story. And then it's like, oh, you motherfucker. Yeah, you know, yeah. that Disney checkbook came out, and you were like, how much can I charge for this? You know, and fucking did it again.
They were like, we got the yellow chair for you. And he's like, okay, I'm in.
Okay, I'm in. Yeah, I mean, and so it will be interesting because there's, you know, there's people already like, you know, don't get excited about John Krasinski being Reed Richards.
I would.
That, well, you know, because they're like, just because he was it in this does not mean he's going to be it in the actual
right.
movie.
But if, I mean, he could look the same in 27 million different realities. No, so
absolutely true. But then, yeah, but there, you know, I don't know, because we've already explained, well, we didn't really explain it, but obviously in Spider-Man, the Spider-Man didn't look the same.
Yeah.
None of them look the same.
But also, I can't believe that. All
white dudes. I guess that's about it. As,
yeah, yeah, about the same. But
two of them are British, but I mean.
I can't believe that they actually, like, kept that a secret. And he, like, everybody campaigned for him to be, Reed Richards, and then it happened, and when it came on screen, I was like, get the fuck out of here.
So. Yeah, I think everyone has been so busy worried about whether or not Andrew Garfield is going to be in Spider-Man that we just kind of totally overlooked this. You know, like, I mean, and I think that they also, you know, they kind of leaked that Patrick Stewart was going to be in the trailer, because yep. It was, I mean,
yeah.
No, and again, I think they kind of maybe let that, in case anyone was starting to get, like, close to who else was in it, that they're like, Patrick Stewart is the, don't worry about it, don't worry about anybody else. Hey, don't worry about anybody else.
Also, I can't believe that they, actually introduced Fantastic Four this early. I didn't think it would happen. I just did not think it would happen.
Yeah, so and again, like, how do we get them into our universe? You know, that's another thing. This is, I know some people have bitched about it, and I don't really, I'm going to bitch about it, but I'm not going to be as offended as some people were that she was like, oh, you know, your universe is 616.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that are like, oh, 616, like, the, you know, that's the comic universe. Like, that's the prime, 616 is essentially the prime universe in the Marvel comics.
Right.
And people, like, bitched and moaned about it.
Why?
And, well, because it's clearly not 616, because there are things that they've changed from 616 in the movies and the comics, you know? And it's like, which I get it. And there's a part of me that's like, yeah, if they had done, like, your 615 that the comic book nerds would have understood, like, the, oh, it's not 616, but it's close to 616. Like, I probably would have gone over a little better with those diehard fans. But I was a little annoyed too that it was 616. I was like, no, it's not.
Really? Well, okay, what was the theater reaction then? Because for our theater action, like, people, as soon as they heard 616, you heard in, like, pockets of the theater, you heard, like, yeah, you know, like, people actually, like, knew.
I don't remember anybody reacting to that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot happening in those moments of the movie when all that's going on. Cause, like, meanwhile, you know, Reed Richards is showing up, you know, that got an audible gasp out of the audience. No one fucking saw that one coming.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best, I mean, best kept secrets. I'm telling you, there, someone right now at Marvel is like, okay, so what the fuck happened with Spider-Man? Like, how are we able to keep that? And that's Spider-Man.
It's
its own question.
Mentioning Haley Atwell as, like, giving in, like, you know, Captain Agent Carter. Yeah. Yeah, Captain Carter, it was so great to see that go from What If to, like, actual, like, living flesh. Mm-hmm. And, man, the shield looked awesome, and just everything about her look was killer, and it was great to see her back in action. I loved it. That was another one that surprised the shit out of me. I didn't expect it. I didn't know who outside of Picard. I didn't know who to, Picard, god damn it, outside of him, I didn't know who to expect. And man, yeah, that one, those two were real nice.
The Black Bolt was a surprise too, because that was played by the same actor who played him on that really shitty show Inhumans.
At least he got to show up. Yeah,
yeah, they got the actor back to do that little bit cameo, which you know, again, it's kind of like, hey, I'm fucking tying everything together in this one, huh?
I like it.
So yeah. It was fun. It was fun, and I agree, Jared. Like, there, I was at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, I'm a little disappointed, like, because this is not going the way. But there was so many good things in it at the same time that, like, I would put it, I think, like pretty solid middle tier as far as, like, all their movies go. It was a lot of fun. It had some really creepy fucking moments in it. Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about it. Like, so Scarlet Witch is the big bad.
Yep.
And they, goddamn, they did not hide that she was the big bad at all. It was like the first time we see her, it's like, haha, oh, just kidding. Like, I'm the, it's
yeah.
me. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But once again, the way, if you paid attention to how WandaVision ends, I mean, you could see her. Like, even at the end credits, she was like, off reading the fucking book, like learning the dark arts, so that way she can look into, peer into the multiverse and like see these other families. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it was like, we knew, I mean, at this point in her MCU life, I mean, she's lost everything. And it's like the one thing she's just trying to hold on to are these kids that didn't exist, like Jared said earlier, but the connection to her was real in other multiverses. And she was being able to like connect with those other hers and the other multiverses and take them over. So it was kind of like she was getting to live that life in a way, but she wanted it full time, you know? And once again, well, I think if you followed WandaVision, you kind of saw that coming, but I didn't expect her to be the big bad in this one. Once again, I saw the first trailer and then I stopped watching all the rest, so I didn't really know. For some reason, I thought Kang the Conqueror was being mentioned in this one, not Quantumania.
It's Quantum.
Yeah, and so I was expecting him to pop out at some point, and he never did. So
no, well, and I think if you also know Scarlet Witch from the comics, you know she is a villain a lot of the time, because of her use of like dark magics and stuff. And I mean, there's the whole House of M storyline where she loses the kids, and in her grief, she casts a spell that gets rid of all the mutants. And it's like just her, you know, like the X-Men no longer have their powers. And it's this whole, and it's like a reality shift thing again, but like in this thing that she's created, they don't have, you know, so she does bad shit.
Yeah.
And for the sake of the kids in the comics and stuff too. So again, it's kind of like when that, especially at the end of WandaVision, it was like, oh fuck. Oh fuck. And we were talking about it at my work. I was like, I've never felt worse for a character than what I feel for like for Wanda, because from the moment we meet her, everything is shit. She loses her brother. She's blamed for the she causes the explosion that kills civilians in Civil War that starts up the Accords and stuff. Like that's her fault. Then she's on the run and she's with Vision, and then she loses Vision once, and then she brings Vision back and has a family and all that shit, and then she loses Vision and the kids again, you know what I mean? Like she just cannot like get a win long enough, you know, before something terrible happens. And so I don't think they killed her off.
Well, she's not dead.
There's no, I think she's too powerful of a witch.
She's not dead. If you didn't see her die, she ain't dead.
Exactly. Exactly. If you don't see the body,
which can we just break for a second and talk about how this is the first like Marvel film where we actually see some real like fucking deaths, like hardcore horror movie deaths.
Yeah.
Bodies chopped in half, heads exploding, limbs getting ripped off. You had people getting impaled by fucking spikes and shit. I was just like, what the fuck? People burning to death?
People being turned into spaghetti.
Yeah, man.
Dude, yeah, the part with the Illuminati all biting that, which is like what kind of sucked, because it was like, oh hey, oh it's the Fantastic Four, oh it's it's, you know, Professor X, and then it was like, oh dead,
yep,
oh dead, dead, oh dead. And, but like, dude, Black Bolt's one, that one I went, that was when I was like,
me too,
yeah,
like oh my god, he just imploded his head. Like, yeah, holy shit.
I thought for a second, I was like, are we watching The Boys?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, even like Reed Richards, like Mr. Fantastic, his, well, while cartoony and kind of silly, which it kind of is, it just like, because she like ripped him into like spaghetti pieces, it wasn't like overly gory, and she kind of used his powers against him in that way to like shred him. Like,
his head popped.
His his scream while it was happening was so fucking visceral that like it made it be like, because if it had been like, I mean, you could have put a different, if you didn't have that scream and like silly music, it would have been funny, like, oh my god. But because the way he was like, like, it was like, oh my god, like, oh my god, this is intense. It was intense. Man. There was some good intense.
Did you guys get any jump scares?
Wanda in the sewers, which
I was like, okay, I was like, this is it. Like, this is the movie. It.
Yeah, man. But it, you know, it was, again, it was nice to see again those kind of Sam Raimi like moments, and it was stuff like that, and then like the camera sweeping through the house, that one scene, I was like, all right, Evil Dead, like, you perfected this shot in Evil Dead, and like, you're just gonna use it in fucking everything you do. You just gotta remind the audience, hey, Sam Raimi.
They even had like Raimi fades, where they had one where they did the circle thing, where like they closed into a circle, you know, like they do stuff like that. There was just all different kinds of like little Raimi touches. I'm surprised there wasn't a Three Stooges reference, unless I missed it, but that's usually another Raimi thing, you know. It's just like talking about Shemp. But man, it, yeah, there was just, it was a solid movie. It was a great movie to watch. You're right. The story was all over the place. Everyone gets murked in this fucking movie. I don't know. Like, I mean, whatever universe, what was that? The universe that he went to, that everyone, like with the Illuminati, what was that? 838 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Or, yeah.
And like, I mean, I feel bad for that universe, because they're like, they just lost like all like five, like six people. And then like a whole, like, they just lost a whole bunch of folks. Like, and they kind of fucked that universe, you know? And it's just wild that, like, yeah, I guess universes are so. Throwaway, I guess, and especially the one where you see Doctor Strange, where they go visit the other Doctor Strange, in the, where it was the post-convergence universe, where it was just basically, there was only like
just him,
bits and pieces left. Yeah, just him.
Similar and to like the What If one. Yeah,
I was expecting that. I was wondering if we were gonna get like, basically, because he's like, oh yeah, no one's powerful enough for Scarlet Witch, and it's like, well, we've got this one guy who's trapped in a universe of his own, you know, let's go find him. And they're gonna bring in that, and that would have been like that Doctor Strange's like redemption. But I guess never mind.
I was that's what I was expecting, was that he would be battling himself, like the evil Doctor Strange was going to be like the main villain, you know, but we
didn't
get, they surprised me for sure. But did you guys feel that it was a little long in the middle? Like it dragged a little bit in the middle, like all the exposition and all that. Like I felt like a little bit of it. I was like, oh, this could be a little bit tighter. Like they could have probably chopped off 10-15 minutes of just kind of dead, you know, dialogue or scenes that didn't really need to be there. Yes, yeah. You get that feeling or no?
I mean,
not really.
No,
I could see it. I just think there was too much of, I mean, I guess they were just showing, they were trying to humanize Wanda in these situations. So there was a lot of scenes where, you know, they kind of dragged on with Wanda doing Wanda things, I guess. I guess we didn't need all of that. I do feel bad for the 838 Wanda, the one who was getting possessed the whole time. Like she would just wake up in places, kind of like Moon Knight style, where she would just kind of wake up and then like, you know, and I felt really bad for her in that situation. But I mean, I guess in the end, you know, you kind of get back. She gets it, her body back of sorts. But yeah, I think that kind of dragged on a little bit.
I did have one thing where as soon as I left the theater, I looked at Colin. I was like, what'd you think? And he goes, I thought it was really good. And I was like, yeah, me too. But don't you think that this could have been I'm almost much rather this have been a Disney Plus.
It would have been able to be as violent.
Yeah.
I know, but I still went and I just was like, man, I feel, and maybe that's because the Disney Plus stuff is so good that I'm just like, fuck, make everything Disney Plus. But
yeah, no shit,
you know. And I was just like, I don't know, man. I guess between everything that I saw with the characters and the story and everything like that, I was just like, I guess it just didn't feel like a summer blockbuster to me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other like nitpicky things that I have with it also. Like, speaking of the dark strange that he ran into on that one point all by himself where an incursion had happened and stuff. That fight with the music was dumb as fuck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like...
I hated it. That was a moment in the movie where I was just like, this is dumb.
I thought it was creative. And I was like, well, this is definitely a new way to do things. But I was just like, fuck, this is giving me Fantasia vibes.
Yeah. It was like...
Debbie said the same thing to me.
Yeah. And like, maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
But like, it was just dumb. Like, I don't know, like doing it every once in a while or like, you know what I mean? Like, because they're using everything in the room to fight each other or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, but it just kept going. Mm-hmm. And I applaud like, because Danny Elfman did the score for this movie. And so I applaud like them using the score also to interact with like what's happening in the scene, you know, with like the music and the. But at the same time, I was just like,
Do you think it would have been better if they didn't use famous tunes? Like, if they didn't use famous,
motifs?
Yeah, and like, stuff. Yeah.
And then also, it took the seriousness out of the fight. Mm. Like, it made it cartoony. To a fault. Like, I mean, it's
fair.
You have this battle going on between like a corrupted Doctor Strange and another Doctor Strange just trying to like get home essentially. And yeah, just like we're fighting with music and music notes made out of magic. Like it just got really dumb. And then my other big nitpick that I was super disappointed in, that third eye looked like shit. It looked like dog shit. I don't understand how the fuck in the opening like sequence of the movie you have this fucking giant octopus with a giant eye and it looked real enough, you know, like obviously there's the like uncanny valley aspect of it where your brain allows it to look mediocre, and it didn't look mediocre, but you know what I mean? Like it doesn't look real because nothing like that actually exists. So like you just accept it. You're like, yep, that's there. Cool.
Yep.
But that fucking third eye, we look at eyes probably more than we look at anything else on this fucking planet. And you couldn't get a fucking eyeball right.
Do you think it's because of the fact that, like you said, it's not something that we see all the time, a third eye on a human. So we just automatically write it off and say, nope, fake.
Possibly, but it also just looked bad. It looked like something I could do in 5 minutes in Adobe After Effects. There was a weird blur around it that was supposed to be like the shadow of, or I guess, but it didn't have the like 3D feel of it actually like emerging from his forehead and it being a part of his forehead. It looked like a flat, like they just rotoscoped and tracked.
Yeah,
it onto his forehead. It did not have the dimension. It did not have like the. It just didn't look good. And to bring it back at the end again was also just, I don't know. There's even like a still you could, in the BuzzFeed link that that Kev sent. There's a shot of the Dark Strange with the third eye, and that looks like shit.
Yeah.
That doesn't look believable. It looks like a really bad Photoshop job.
Can I give one more?
It's number 44. It's towards the end of the article. It's just, it doesn't look good.
Can I give one more pet peeve that I didn't like about it?
Yeah.
Zombie Strange. There was two versions. Mm-hmm. One that looked like he was wearing a mask.
A prosthetic, yeah.
And then one that was completely badass that looked amazing. And I was just like... Wait a minute, what's because it, you know what? Oh, fuck, you know what it looked like?
It looked like a deadite,
huh?
Yeah,
it looked like a deadite, but also it looked like, oh my god, why can't I think of the name? The three women, Halloween movie, the
Hocus Pocus,
Hocus Pocus zombie.
Oh,
I can see that.
His name's Billy.
Forget his name.
Billy
Billy. But yeah, it looked like that. And I was just, and I went, and it was that first shot where it zoomed out. And then for the rest of it, it was probably CGI. And I was like, oh, CGI better looks way better. This is the one time that CGI looks better than the prosthetic.
The close-ups of the prosthetic, it looked okay, but it looked like a deadite. And not think it necessarily looked bad. It was just, it had that Raimi flair to it where it just looked like a lot of prosthetics on top of a face and not necessarily prosthetics a part of a face.
Agreed.
There's just little nitpicky things, but again, overall, I enjoyed the movie and I will watch it again. It had that tension and like kind of eeriness that I expect from Sam Raimi movies of this caliber. You know what I mean? When you watch Drag Me to Hell or, obviously like the Evil Dead and stuff like that, it was fun in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think I didn't feel like the story was all over the place. I just felt that it was a very simple story and it wasn't as built up, or there wasn't as much there as it felt like I had built up in my head, but it also really felt like how it had to go, because again, you've been doing all of these things to set up the multiverse and the multiverse breaking down and collapsing and all this stuff happening to just kind of like, oh, we solved this one problem. We stopped Scarlet Witch from using the multiverse. And then at the end, the stinger being the like, oh shit, there's an incursion. We need you to come help. Yeah. And like that in a mid credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. I feel like that should have been the movie. Like the continuation, exactly where we left off from where, Spider-Man's thing, there's a tear. He thinks he fixes it. All of a sudden, how do you say it? Clea shows up and goes, hey man, you screwed up. And that's where the story begins. Like, and then I guess you can throw Scarlet Witch in there. Like maybe I feel like maybe this, like Scarlet Witch should have had her own movie, this whole thing. And then that had Doctor Strange in it and not the other way around. You know what I'm saying? I feel like she deserved to have her own setup, her own movie, like that, where she becomes the baddie, and I would have watched that in a movie.
There's a way you could combine them where like he has, hey, point A, multiverses are breaking down. You need to come fucking fix this, like, because this is partially, maybe not necessarily your fault. It's definitely your universe's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people in your universe fucking up real bad right now. And you are partially blamed for doing that spell that broke things even further. Mm-hmm. And then how you tie that in with Scarlet Witch, though, is that like she is now taking advantage of these breaks to slip into other universes to try to reclaim her sons.
Yeah.
And maybe that means getting rid of America Chavez, but maybe also, but maybe not. Maybe she pops in also because she can do that and she finds her way here.
Maybe you just use her in a small way to introduce her, be like, they go to a world where they can't open a portal. Something happens, they lose their powers, but she can still open a portal and helps you. Like,
Exactly. They find her, or again, maybe she finds him, and like her purpose is just to get him around because he can't or whatever. Mm-hmm. She can get him around faster without the need for spells. But yeah, there's a better way to tell the story, because then it's also stopping Scarlet Witch without maybe not necessarily having to kill her, but then also
setting her up.
If not even fixing what was going on, but like, even if it's just like, oh, I put a Band-Aid on it. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. Because obviously we're leading to Kang, I feel like. Even though he's supposed to be the bad in Quantumania. Like, he's too big of a bad guy, I think, I feel like, to waste on just an Ant-Man movie.
They're not. Like, that's going to be the introduction, and then he is going to be the 10-year guy. Like, I feel like he's the he's the ultimate baddie. Yeah. But I also feel like Scarlet Witch should have been, like, I felt like she's like one of the most powerful beings. One spell could take out an entire galaxy. Like, that's how powerful she is in the comics. And I feel like she should have been built up. This shouldn't have been like a closed off story for her. It should have been like an introduction to her own thing. You know what I'm saying? So
I mean, who knows? I mean, with this multiverse, I mean, and plus, once again, like we said earlier, no body, no foul. We didn't see shit. No body, no crime.
Well, that goes also to one of the things we were kind of talking about even earlier today, where I did not realize that this was going to be the last Guardians or last we see of the Guardians theory again. And I was like, dude, if you don't die, like, you ain't done. You know what I mean? Like,
you can always come back later.
But
it wouldn't be their movie. Like, I feel like they'll do cameos. Whoever survives.
I mean, just like Star-Lord and them. I don't know if it's just Star-Lord. No, they're all in it. They're all in the next Thor movie. So, yeah. I mean, they have opportunities to show. And maybe that's Thor 5. As Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever it is, you know, where it's Thor running around with the Guardians. So it's not a Guardians movie. And, you know, maybe it's not Sean Gunn directing, but yeah, I didn't realize. Sean Gunn would be Rocket.
he'd be like in it.
Yeah, he's the body double for Rocket Raccoon. He does all the motion capture work. And then he also plays the one Reaver.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever his name is. The one who took Yondu's bow and then shot Drax in the ass with the arrow. mm-hmm. I need to watch those movies again. They're fun.
Yeah, they are.
Let's see. Okay, so let's start to wrap things up, shall we?
Yeah,
let's give our scores, shall we? You want to do scores, or do you have anything else? Does anybody have anything else to say?
I will say I enjoyed the film. You're right. I mean, the story was all over the place and everything like that, but visually it was fun, and getting another Sam Raimi type film was fun too, and to see Bruce Campbell have a little comedic part was really fun. Like I said, the Pizza Papa moment was so good. Yeah.
Also, to go with Sam Raimi, it was fun for Sam Raimi, in my opinion, to make fun of Spider-Man in a Marvel movie. Like, yes, to literally have them in the diet where she's like, is he a spider? Like, no, he's just a man that has spider powers, you know, can climb on walls, superhuman strength, shoots webs out of his butt.
Yeah. God, I hope not.
He's like, no, I hope not. Yeah, I hope not.
Well, I don't actually know.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. I was like, oh, that's nice. A nice little, like, hey, you get to kind of poke fun at, you know, of a hero that you catapulted Spider-Man was already super popular, but catapulted superhero movies into the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally just blew everybody out of the water.
Yeah.
So,
great.
We can do ratings, though.
Okay. Kev, do you want to start us off?
Let's see. On a scale from, let's say, Eternals to No Way Home, I give this an Ant-Man.
Okay, all right.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. Like, fun movie, but kind of just that. You know what? I'll even raise that. I think probably lower. On a scale of Eternals to No Way Home, I give it an Ant-Man and the Wasp or whatever.
Oh, okay.
The second one was just okay. This was just okay.
All right.
Another moment where the end credit thing is the most important thing in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's just sitting there to get to the end. They're like, all right, wrap it up.
Let's get to the fucking end credit scene, please, so we can, you know, we can
move on.
Allude to
from a scale of Eternals to No Way Home, I'm going to give it an Iron Man 3.
Oof.
Okay.
Oof. That's the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, that's probably low middle right there. That's low mid.
All I know is that I definitely will not see this film. Like, I will not go out of my way to see this film again.
Really? See, I like the horror aspects of it. I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I did too, but it's not what I'd like. I a lot of times I'll look at a Marvel film and I'll watch it and I'll go, fuck, I can't wait to watch that again. But I have no desire. Like, I'll go, all right, well, I watched that one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one I've watched, you know, like I've gone back and watched all the Marvel films. I'm like, eh, that's pretty good. But maybe in time I'll want to go back and watch it again. But I just, you know, it took me, same thing with Doctor Strange. I saw it once in the theater and then my wife never saw it. So we sat down and watched it on Friday night. And we watched that, and that was my second time seeing it. I was like, oh, this is better than I remember. I was like, okay, so maybe it'll be the same way.
I don't know if I've seen it since I saw that one. But I also have the problem of not seeing movies multiple times. Like, mm-hmm. I am one of those people where I'm like, ah, I'm good. I have the same problem with TV shows, too. My wife is one of those who's like, oh, let's fucking throw on Community or Gilmore Girls or, you know, whatever for the 800,000th time. And I'm always like, can we watch something new, though?
That's the same way. I have a really hard time. Like, people are like, oh, I'm going back and watching Friends for the 10th time. I'm like, man, I didn't get through it once. And then same thing with, like, video games. I envy people who can go and play their favorite video game over and over again. And mm-hmm. I just cannot do it. I tried so hard. The only one I've ever been able to do is Mass Effect. And
same.
And then I went back for a third time because I bought the games with the Legendary Edition. I was thinking, I was like, yeah, I'm going to fucking play these again. And I was like, nah, never made it through it.
Never yeah. I think the only game I've there's a handful of games, but they're none of them are ever like story based. Mm-hmm. Really. I mean, like I've played Steam World Dig 2 like 8 times, but that's just one where it's like, and I'm just going to my brain off, mm-hmm. throw on an audio book or something and or a podcast and dig.
There you go. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I hope that everybody enjoyed our review and our thoughts of the film. By no means are we experts. In fact, you can call us our opinions dumb on it, and you can say how wrong we are. You can do that in the Telegram if you'd like. Well, we're still there. We're still in the Telegram.
We're still on Telegram, so find us on Telegram.
I mean, on Discord.
Find our phone numbers somehow.
It's been a while.
You can assign a username so your phone number doesn't get let out.
No, I meant Discord. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We're still on Discord. Well, okay, Kevin and I are still on Discord.
Hey, I pop in. I pop in.
Chair pops in time somewhere, I guess.
I do. I just commented on the in the garage, and then sometimes I'll pop in the arcade.
Oh, that's right. You were sharing like what you were doing with your car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, follow Jer's Twitch channel lately. He's been putting together some really cool Lego shit. So that's fun.
Yeah, I've been doing some of that. And then follow Doug's 8-Bit Saga. He's been doing some cool stuff over on his Patreon. He mm-hmm. edits the show live. You can tune in. And then he also releases a whole bunch of cool stuff that no one else gets to see other than the players. You get to see all the maps that he builds and the animations. So go check that out.
Yeah. And I'm currently re-editing episode 1. Well, okay, not re-editing. I'm cleaning up episode 1 because I've been listening to old episodes and I'm like, God damn. Mm-hmm.
This could be tighter.
Oof. Tighten it up.
Take it up.
And then Kev is actually become a host of a wrestling show. He does the intros to Journey Pros and are not intros. He does the pre-show for Journey Pro and mm-hmm. In Casey. And so you should check that out on their Twitch because he's doing a fantastic job up there. And
thanks, you know, bud.
Talking about the wrestling and the men who's in the Spritz boy who comes out.
That's a nice callback. Holy shit! You know what? One of the early episodes of Saga in the break, I'm talking about our other shows, and so I'm like, hey, go check out Divas Drop Kicks and Dives if you're a fan of sweaty boys talking about sweaty boys. And I made myself
laugh. Went
I
way laugh. Up that week.
I laugh at my own dumb joke. Yeah. But if you like sweaty boys talking about other sweaty boys groping each other, go check it out.
Pretty accurate. I mean, yeah.
No, here's you said you and Mike were doing those together, but the one that I saw, I didn't see Mike. Is Mike doing those with you still?
Yeah, he was supposed to. It, like what I've learned over those, it was 2 days event. It was a 2-day event. There was 2 days of wrestling. The first day we were supposed to do it and it just, we got there early and the stars just didn't align. The thing I learned about wrestling shows are it's a hurry up and wait situation. Even for wrestlers, there'll be some wrestlers that come in from the road that will help set up the show, put the ring together and everything. And then might not even be on the card. But if they show up and there's an open spot, there's a good chance they might be. So that's kind of like what we were. And so the next night, I got there at the same time as I did early, just in case. Mike was running late, and then they were like, oh yeah, so we're going on now in about 15 minutes. And I'm like, cool, Mike, hey, can you get here in 15 minutes? He's like, I'm still at home, like 40 minutes out. It was one of those things that was just kind of on the fly. And thankfully, one of my friends, Jamie, from another podcast that from Kansas City called Total Spot Fest, he was around, he was helping work the door. And so I was like, hey, you want to talk some wrestling stuff with me?
Hey,
and we just did the pre-show together.
He didn't pay for that drop. You take that back right now. He didn't pay for that ad spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
So
and I have one critique, and this is not against you, Kev. It's whoever your audio guy is needs to bring your mics down. You are so fucking hot.
I don't know.
And also, what you were clipping. You're a little out, but you were so fucking hot, Kev.
Yeah, you're sounding out. You know what? That it might not even be anybody's issue, and just being because you're so fucking hot.
You're so fucking hot, Kev.
The thing that sucks is too, the people that were doing commentary for the whole show were really hot like that too.
Yeah,
like the mics were clipping. So I think it's just something that they have like a separate pains. Streaming crew. Yeah, exactly. It's growing pains. Yeah. And they're too busy worrying about the, you know, obviously the live show of people being in the building and making that taken care of. Now that they have a building, like in a place to do it, they don't have to break the ring down because it's also like a school by day. They do wrestling school there as well.
Right.
So yeah, there's no reason to break down the ring. So when, you know, you go from usually having to get set up a wrestling show starting around noon to like, now you can show up at 3 or 4 because everything's mostly set up. You know, you just have to do little things. So it's once again, like kind of working this over the last few months gives you a really interesting perspective. It's just how shows are put together and like, you know, like concerts, you know, people show up early to do sound checks of sorts. Wrestlers will show up early to build, you know, set everything up and practice and, you know, work out in the ring before the event starts. So it's real cool to see and real, like there's so much that goes into these independent shows and even in wrestling, like big shows like AEW and WWE, it's just, there's so much that goes into it that people don't see. And it's just, you got to appreciate that, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Good times.
Well, it's good to get back and chat with you guys for a little bit about this. It was fun. And we'll see you guys on the flippity flop until next time. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.